Our thoughts and prayers are with the families who have lost loved ones and those who have been injured in another senseless shooting there in Louisville, Kentucky. And how many of the recent shootings, well, one was stopped before it happened in Colorado, where people wanted to change their gender, or they want to go along with the use of pronouns. Isn't this quite telling that the people involved have a disturbed mind? They're certainly not seeking to do the will of God. So I wanted to mention the word alternative is being used by many people to indicate options or a different selection than the first choice. For example, some people are said to have an alternative lifestyle, such as homosexuals or transgenders, who are very much in the news lately. They want to choose a practice that's abnormal, it's against nature, and to justify their abnormal behavior, they've renamed their perversion to an alternate lifestyle. Well, you could take an alternate route and avoid a problem on the highway. There's nothing wrong with some alternatives. But as we're going to see this morning, with the religious world in which we find today, there are innumerable alternatives to the one true pattern. But our Lord and Savior in John chapter 14, verse 6, made it very clear. There are no alternative ways to heaven when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's it. One way to heaven is through Christ. And so there has never been, nor will there ever be, alternatives to God's commands that are acceptable. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, we should know that. Preparing for Eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude and also following the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome. Now, something else to mention, we are always looking forward to having opportunities for Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience to sit down and study God's Word together, we would be glad to do that. Look forward to it. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. Again, that address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get to our study this morning as we're looking at the term alternatives. So what are some of these so-called alternatives that people have chosen? We'll start with human philosophy, which actually started in the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve, ye shall be as gods. Once you eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you're going to be your own God. Thus, you're not going to need God. That's human philosophy. Colossians 2:8 also tells us, as Paul was writing to the Church of Christ at Colossae, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to stay with Christ, not be misled by man's philosophy, because evolution is an example of what comes out of humanistic philosophy. Yes, it's not even a theory. It's a hypothesis. It certainly isn't proven with facts. There is not one fact to prove evolution. It's a hoax. It's a big lie. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, note, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That's what happened. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. When you deny God's existence, when you come up with something like the hypothesis of evolution to explain our existence, that's vain in one's imagination. That's a foolish heart that's darkened. They claim to be wise. Oh, they're with degrees and scientists. But they're not practicing true science. True science and the Bible go hand in hand. Well, we see the result is they became fools. So we don't want to go down that road. That's an alternative. But where is it going to lead? We should understand that. And morality suffers when people are going along with humanistic philosophy, as we're talking about the problems of perversion in a sexual way, as we're seeing this constantly now. Look at Romans chapter 1 with me, 23 through 26. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So Romans 1, 23 through 27 is what is going on today. And this is causing morality to suffer. Now let me be quick to say, we care about the souls of all those involved in perversion. We want to see them get out of sin and become a child of God and be in heaven for eternity. You see, that's really loving these people, to want to see them get out of sin, of course. But this is what happens when people are choosing alternatives to God's commands. But let us go on. False religion. This is huge in our societies and throughout nations, all nations of the world. How many people have accepted a false belief that is not from the Bible? It may be twisting verses from the Bible, but it's not based on the truth. For example, Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." These men that Jesus is speaking of were speaking false doctrine. They were teaching false things. And this is causing people to worship God in vain when they're following such men as Jesus is talking about here. We have some in the church today that are being referred to as change agents. You see, they want an alternative to the pattern that God has given us. They want to change that. But that's not going to be acceptable before God. We all should understand that God's word is the truth, and we must stay with that, or we're not going to please God. It's just that plain. Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We better be wanting to please God. We can please men if we're going along with those teaching false doctrine. Please a lot of folks. Be accepted. But if it's not pleasing God, it's a failure in one's life. 2 Timothy 4:4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We don't want to be in that category of wanting to hear fables instead of God's word. Hebrews 12:25, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And how many people are turning away from him that speaketh from heaven? By turning away from God's word, that's exactly what one would be doing. So again, this is an alternative that many people have taken, not accepting the truth, but staying with false teaching. But let us go on. Here's another alternative: superstition. Acts 17:22-23. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And you can study that sermon there in Acts 17 on Mars Hill. Paul, by inspiration, was right on target, wasn't he? They're too superstitious. They erect an altar in case they missed a God. They missed the true God, and they were accepting false gods, idol gods, who couldn't do anything for them. But now we can still hear advertisements for psychic hotlines. How many people are suckered in to these so-called psychics claiming to have powers, fortune tellers? Well, notice Isaiah 47:13. This is what went on back in the Old Testament days. Isaiah, by inspiration, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." That's not going to do you any good to go along with all this stuff. No, sir. And if we know the truth, we're made free from things like this. We're not going to be superstitious. Not at all. Another aspect of this is how many people today believe that miracles are still occurring, like raising the dead, as Jesus did, the apostles did. Remember, Peter raised Tabitha. Paul, the young man that fell out of the window. Well, this is sad to say, but some people are not understanding what the Scriptures teach. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come," and that would be the perfect revelation of God, the perfect law of liberty, "when that is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." This is not talking about when Christ comes. Christ, of course, is perfect, yes, but this is that, not he. So the context you can see here is miraculous gifts, chapter 12 through 14 in 1 Corinthians is dealing with miraculous gifts, and they're going to be done away. They're in part. The revelation is in part when Paul wrote that. But when the full revelation has come, then that which is in part is done away. The scaffolding comes down from the building when it's finished. We need to accept that. Well, it's good to ask this question in our study. Why do people seek alternatives? And it's very simple to answer this. Number one, because they do not want to do what God said to do. An example would be Pharaoh in Exodus 5:2, as he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" He didn't want to do what God said to do. God said, "Let my people go," through Moses and Aaron. He goes on to say, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And how many religious people today do not want to humble themselves and obey the gospel of Christ and follow the New Testament pattern? They want an alternative. They want to do something else. But that's not going to work. It's not going to be acceptable unto God, is it? How many members of the Lord's church today do not want to attend worship services faithfully and live faithfully? Sad to say, it's quite a few. But this is an answer to the question, why do people seek alternatives? Because they do not want to do what God said to do. Number two, because they want to do what God said not to do. Turn it around, you see. Well, like in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, is Paul writing to the young evangelist by inspiration, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They don't want to do what God said to do. And they want to do what God said not to do. And God said not to turn away from the truth. But that's what they're wanting to do here, and so many still today, as Paul wrote to Titus, again by inspiration, chapter 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And that's what God said not to do. But they're going to go ahead and do it anyway, as so many people do today. Number three, to our question, why do people seek alternatives? Simply because they do not know the truth. Ignorance. That's right. Some people are afraid to learn the truth, and they prefer to stay in ignorance. But ignorance will not be excused on the day of judgment. We who are accountable are responsible for not only learning the truth, but obeying the truth. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It won't do any good to know the truth and not obey it. But how many people are ignorant of the truth entirely? Notice Ephesians 4:18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Well, how many people have closed their minds to the light of God's word? They want to stay in darkness. How sad is that? Well, let's ask another question. When will people realize that alternatives are not the answer? Well, when they quit being deceived and realize that God means what he says, learn and obey his will. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, let's notice. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How often are we studying God's word, learning his will and obeying it, submitting to it? Jesus learned God's will and obeyed it. Hebrews 5, 8, 9, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life, eternal salvation unto all them that," what? "Obey him." Are we obeying him? Well, unfortunately, many never do realize this. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Here it is. "And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Are we of the many or of the few? Something to think about, isn't it? Pharaoh is an example of this, as he tried to get Moses to compromise 4 times. Yes. In Exodus 8:25-28, chapter 10, verse 11, and verses 24-29. So, when will people realize that alternatives are not the answer? Well, again, when they quit being deceived and realize that God means what he says. And of course, we have to learn and obey his will. Those who are accountable to God that die outside the body of Christ are lost. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:16. To whom will we listen? Satan offers alternatives. There's plenty of those to God's will. He's going to, you know, have those right there for you to choose, for me to choose, if I'm so willing to do so. We need to think about this. But what comes with the package? Choosing those alternatives that he sets before us. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The 3 avenues of temptation. Yes, those are alternatives to God's will. But again, what comes with it is suffering and heartache not only in this life, but eternal damnation in the life to come. But God offers the abundant life in the flesh and eternal life to those who obey Him. We have peace of mind that passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Doesn't that mean a lot to us if we have true peace of mind living in today's situation, as we're seeing our country dismantled before our eyes? The shame, people are not able to blush anymore. So much perversion, but yet we can have true peace of mind even in these difficult situations which we may face. Look at 1 John 1:4, as the Apostle John, by inspiration, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What about our joy? If we're not walking in the light as He is in the light, we don't have that fullness of joy. We're lacking. So we need to appreciate that God offers the abundant life. As we live in this fleshy body, we can have an abundant life, but even more so, we can look forward to being in heaven for eternity. This life, we may suffer financial losses. Losing loved ones, of course, is part of life. And so many difficulties we could name, illnesses, diseases that will take our life or whatever, but still we're in the abundant life in Christ while we're in the flesh, and we have that hope, not just wishful thinking, but this is the anchor of the soul, looking forward to being with God in heaven forevermore. So to whom will we listen? Satan again offers those alternatives, but God is offering true peace of mind that passeth all understanding, and salvation in Christ. So, have we found the truth? Have we obeyed the truth? Or have we been deceived by Satan and his servants? What could be more desirable than eternal life in heaven? That's something we all need to, of course, be thinking about, preparing for eternity. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Of course, we have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary. He was the sacrificial Lamb of God. Once we believe that, John 8:24, we're ready to repent, to make that change of wills and do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, contacting that precious blood that Jesus shed symbolically in that watery grave. And the Lord adds us to His body, the true church. Here's where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.